When you come to worship, how close do you feel to God? You come in this building, and there's nothing special about this building. You come inside these walls and sit in these pews, and there's nothing special about this location. But what's special is that when we come here, the purpose of our gathering together is to worship our God. When you come and worship God, how close do you feel to Him? You see, how close we feel to God has nothing at all to do with how close God has come to us, but has everything to do with how close are we drawing ourselves to God. When we worship in song, we are drawing ourselves to God. When we worship in prayer, we are drawing ourselves to God. When we worship in the Lord's Supper, we are drawing ourselves to God. When we worship, as we talked about last week, through the preaching of God's Word, it is God drawing His Word closer to us, but that's only going to get as close as we allow ourselves to draw unto His Word and unto His grace. When you pray, especially as a part of a worship assembly, how close are you to God? This morning I want us to consider just briefly some ABCs of prayer as a part of our worship assembly. And this is not anything new. Most of this are things that we will have thought of already. But as we try to think about this month, with God we can worship more meaningfully. And as we try to focus and target that this morning and worship more meaningfully in praying as a part of our worship, how can we make that more meaningful as a part of our worship? First thing we need to realize, first thing we need to think about is that prayer in worship is and ought to be awe-inspiring. What do we mean by that? You and I, when we come together, we get to enter into the very presence of God Almighty. It's not that He's in some distant land and we're writing a telegram in our worship and we're throwing it up there and we hope that He gets it at some point. We are in, just as the book of Revelation describes, especially in our prayers. The book of Revelation describes our prayers. It describes the throne room of God in Revelation chapter 5. And it describes in the throne room of God that there is a golden bowl of incense. You know what that golden bowl of incense is in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8? It is defined for us that that golden bowl of incense are the prayers of the saints. I don't know everything that's entailed in that. I don't know if they're there because when we pray, God collects our prayers and He keeps them with Him. But you get to Revelation chapter 8, and it talks about this bowl of incense containing the prayers of God that goes very right up into His very presence. When we worship God, when we come together and we pray as a part of our worship, we are in the face of our God. But not just God as an almighty God. Not just God as the master of the universe. Not just God as the creator and sustainer of all things. Not just God as the one who's going to be the judge of all the world and the one who will bring vengeance upon those who don't obey Him. When we come before God in prayer, we come before Him as our Father. Prayer is simply communication, and I have hyphenated a word in there for you this morning to help us to understand that when we are communicating with God, we are in communion with Him. It is communication, if you can make that a word. Look at the word communication. What's the root word there? We have something in common. We are in communion with our Father in heaven. Is He your Father today? Is the God of heaven your Father? When you pray to Him, when we come together to Him in worship, He is our Father that we talk to as you would talk to your father. One morning this past week, I called my dad. You know, sometimes when you call your father, there's a reason for it. In younger years, it was usually because you needed money. You'd call dad, and when he knew it was you, if there was caller ID back then, and there wasn't, but if there was caller ID back then and he saw your name and your number, he'd already know why you were calling. Needs some money. You know, there's certain reasons why we call our fathers. We'll call them when we need something. I used to call my dad when I couldn't figure out how to fix something. Dad, what do I do? How do you fix this? Sometimes you call your dad, you call your father on a birthday, on a special occasion. But you know, sometimes, and this is what it was this past week, I just called my dad for no reason other than just to talk to him. Some of you who can't do that anymore. Some of you, because of the passing of days and years, you can't talk to your father, not your earthly father, anymore. But you have a heavenly Father that during your days, during your daily life, you don't need a reason to call upon Him. He's your Father. You can call upon Him anytime you want, anytime, any day or night, any reason at all. But when we come together to worship, we call upon Him together because He's the one that's to receive the honor and glory in our worship. Worship and prayer is a part of our worship. We need to understand it's something that's biblical. It's not something that we've made up, in other words. It's not something that man has created. It's not something that some man decided, you know, let's have worship. And it just kind of makes sense to throw some prayers in there. Let's have an opening prayer. And if you're going to have an opening prayer, what do you got to have? You got to have a closing prayer. You know, and you know, on some other days, we might put some other prayers in there. This isn't something that man designed. When God authorized worship, when God put His worship together for His church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, this worship scene is described. As the disciples continued, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the preaching. They continued steadfastly in fellowship, the giving that we participated in this morning. They continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread, Acts 2 and verse 42, talking about the Lord's Supper as a part of our weekly assembly. And then the last part of Acts 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in prayers. Prayer is an authorized by God avenue by which we come before Him in the way that He has determined that we ought to do that. We got to get into the New Testament. Make sure that we, when we come together and when we are worshiping, and especially as we talked about this morning, when we are praying, that we are doing it in the way that God has asked us to do it. Not in some way that might seem right or feel right to us, but to make sure that when we pray, that we address Him as our Father. That when we pray, we are coming before Him with the right heart. That when we pray, that we are coming to Him. And sometimes we put in Jesus' name, most of the time we'll put in Jesus' name and word at the end of a prayer. But when the Bible says we're to pray in Jesus' name, that's not just talking about the words that you say. That's talking about the authority that you have. That's talking about the avenue by which you can approach God. What a friend we have in Jesus. Because when we pray to our Father, it is Jesus Christ Himself, our Savior, who is our mediator, who is our intercessor, that takes our prayers, as it were, to the very throne of God Himself and says, Father, You need to hear their prayer. We need to pray in such a way that we follow the biblical plan that God has given to us. Third thing we need to understand about prayer and worship, and this is kind of obvious, but we need to understand that when we pray together, it is a collective prayer. It's a beautiful statement over in Acts 2 and verse 4, or Acts 4 and verse 24. In Acts 4 and verse 24, it talks about the early church having gathered together, and it says they raised their voice to God with one accord. That's what we do in worship when we pray. we raise our voice up to God in one accord, in unison. There is one man who will stand and lead the prayer, but as we will talk about in just a couple minutes, he's not the only one praying. When a man stands behind this podium and behind this microphone and says, let's bow and pray to God, he's not the only one in the room who's praying. We are to all collectively gather our hearts together as one heart and to offer that prayer together to God as one body. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it would be like? What it must be like in heaven when there are individual prayers going up to God all over the place, an individual in his home, an individual in her home, an individual over here praying to God. But then when there is an assembly of hearts that join together and offer that prayer as one united prayer unto God. We pray together. Don't just focus on the man who's up here. Focus on joining together with one accord in a collective prayer. When we pray, it ought to be awe-inspiring. We're getting to go before God. When we pray, we need to make sure it's biblical. When we pray, we need to think about it being collective. But when we pray and worship, this is something that there's no way for us to understand the magnitude. There's no way for us to even describe everything that's involved and our prayer is a part of worship. But it's dynamic. How is it dynamic? Because when we come together to pray, we are together expressing praise to God. I think it would be helpful for us in our minds to redefine prayer. Sometimes when we think about prayer, we think about, well, I'm going and I'm asking for something. When you used to call your dad on the phone, it used to be sometimes because you needed to ask for something. Ask for help for this. Ask for money for this. Ask him to do this for you. And sometimes that's our mentality about what prayer is. That prayer is our opportunity to now we're going to go and we're going to ask God for something. And that's a part of it. But before prayer is ever asking God for something, prayer is a time for us to praise our God. In that model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, do you notice how it starts? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Before getting to any other part of a prayer, before we venture into what we need and what we want, we need to praise God for who He is, for what He's done for us. Praise Him for all that He is in this world. You read through the Psalms. Sometimes read through the Psalms and just find in the Psalms how often those Psalms, those prayers, those songs are lifting up praise to God. In Psalm 111, holy and awesome is your name. When was the last time you said that to God? Psalm 111 verse 9, when was the last time you said to God, God, holy and awesome is your name. That's praising God. Praising God for who He is. But when we come together to pray, it's not only to praise our God, but it's to express our thanksgiving to God. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, the Bible says that we are to continue earnestly in prayer. But then the rest of that verse says, continue earnestly in prayer and vigilantly give yourself to thanksgiving. How often are we watchful so much that we make sure in every prayer that we pray that we thank God? The second song we sang this morning is a prayer song where we said, thank you, Lord, for loving me and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. How often do we say that in our prayers? When we pray together in worship is an opportunity for us to give collectively in one accord and one heart in unison to give our thanks to God for who He is and all that He has done for us. It's an opportunity for us to express our devotion to God. You notice in that model prayer where we ought to pray, "Thy will be done." That's devoting ourselves to God. Isn't that what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane? "Not my will, but your will be done." What does that mean? That means, God, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. I am giving myself to you. And when we come together, we ought to pray that together. We ought to pray, "God, we are devoting ourselves to you, not our will, but your will be done." When we come together to pray, it is to petition God. Now, this is the part of prayer that we often think about as being what prayer is. We're asking God for something. And God wants us to ask Him. You know the verse, don't you? Matthew 7 and verse 7. "Ask, and it will be given you." God told us to ask. "Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." God said, "Come to me and ask." James 4 and verse 2. "You have not because you" what? "You ask not." You know why you don't have? Because God says you're not asking. Well, that's what we need to do in our prayers. Notice in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, a part of that model prayer. What does Jesus say to pray? "Give us this day our daily bread." Not those exact words, but to go to the Almighty God and say, "God, we have needs. We have desires." Philippians 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing." Don't be anxious about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," don't forget the thanksgiving, "let your requests be made known unto God." Collectively, we come together and we ask God for things. We ask God to be with us. We ask God to bless us. We ask God to give us wisdom. Any man seeks wisdom, any man wants wisdom, let him ask of God in James 1 and verse 5. We ask God to watch over us. We ask God to give us those things that are necessary in our lives. We ask God to help us to spread the gospel. We ask for His help for one thing and ask for His... What are we doing? We are showing God we can't live without you. Have you ever said that to God? "God, I can't survive without you." It is showing God our utter dependence and devotion to Him. When we come together, and this model prayer also shows us that when we come together to pray, that it is a time for us to intercede for other people. In petitioning, we ask Him for things. In interceding, we ask Him for things for other people. Sometimes prayer can become very selfish, very self-centered, very self-focused. Here's what I need. Here's what I want, God. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, here's what you need to know first of all. Here's what I'm telling you first of all above everything else. He says, when you get ready to pray unto God, that there need to be supplication, prayers, and intercessions be made for all men. When we pray, we need to pray for each other. James 5 verse 16 says, pray for one another. So we come together and we pray for the sick. We pray for those who are grieving. We pray for our family members. We pray for our friends. We pray for those who are lost. We pray for new members. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for other people and we ask God that He would bless them. That is like God's people interceding to God on behalf of others. And then when we pray, we are coming together collectively and begging God to forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Notice the plural form of the pronoun. Forgive us our debts. As we, it's plural. This isn't intended as just an individual prayer. It is intended as a collective prayer. When we come together, we beg God, we need your forgiveness. Prayer has more power We might realize it does. Someone once said that when you pray, you move the hand of Him who moves the world. We come before our God, all inspiring, in a way that He's authorized us to do. It's biblical. We do it collectively, all of our hearts joining together in such a dynamic way that it encompasses so many things. And we need to realize that when we pray, we need to have confidence that it's effective. God promises us that when we pray, He hears us. He promises when we pray that He answers us. He promises us that when we pray, He gives to us. He gives to us liberally, James 1 says, and without reproach. Do we believe that? Do we have confidence in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11 that as any father would give to any earthly child what he needs on this earth? Do we have confidence in Matthew 7 and verse 11? How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? Do we believe God will do that? We need to believe that. When we come together, we need to have faith in our hearts collectively, that God will bless us, that He will give us those things that we need as we pray together. In a few minutes, we're going to be led in some prayers, but before those men come, I want to share some things that both those who are worship leaders, and then we'll have a list of things that us as worshipers can do. What can we do to make praying more meaningful in our assembly? What can prayer leaders do? There's a number of things that could be helpful. And obviously, as we make these suggestions this month, none of these are meant as criticism. They're all intended to help all of us. But what can prayer leaders do to help us in our praying in the assembly? First thing that you can do if you're a prayer leader who stands up here, be somebody who prays in private. Be a man of prayer in private, and it will help you to pray in public. You listen to how a man prays. You can tell if he's been there before, if he's talked to his God before. When you're asked to lead a prayer, sometimes I know you don't get a whole lot of notice, but most of the time in this congregation, you get plenty of notice. You know when it's going to be your time. Spend time preparing. Spend time thinking about what you're going to say. Spend time even writing down what you are going to say. Help us when we pray to remember that we are entering into the very presence of God. Help us to focus on God. When you stand up here to lead a prayer, help us to focus on God and not on you. And that's the goal of every man who stands up behind this pulpit for any reason. The focus is not on the man, the focus is on God. Help us to remember that we've come together to worship and our focus is on Him. When you stand up here to lead a prayer, talk to God. Don't talk to us. Praying is not the time to preach a sermon. Praying is not the time to get at brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so because they did or said something that they probably shouldn't have done. Praying is not talking to the people. Praying is talking to God. When you stand here, help us to all come before God together. When you stand here, speak for the entire assembly. It's not just you praying. You're the man who is leading us, but speak for all of us. Use those pronouns, we and us and our, to indicate that you are taking our needs, you are taking our wants, you are taking our desires, you are reflecting our heart to God. Speak for all of us and think about what is it that the congregation needs in order that at the end of the prayer, the congregation might be able to say amen. Because you were praying for those things that expressed even their own heart. Speak loudly. Speak distinctly. Speak simply. Speak understandably. When you stand here, be mindful of the specific purpose for which you are standing here to pray. If you're leading an opening prayer, it's a little bit different. If you're leading a closing prayer is a little different purpose than an opening prayer. If you're leading those prayers for the Lord's Supper, those prayers have a different purpose. And we'll talk about those more a little bit later, next week, I guess. Stand here and be mindful of why you're standing here and what prayer you are leading. When you lead a prayer, have an attitude of awe in the presence of God. Have an attitude of humility. Be confident. Have confidence come through in your prayer that God is going to hear our prayers. Recognize that when you stand here and lead us in prayer, try to avoid some of those And I don't know that we have them much anymore as much as we used to. There used to be some really good repetitions back in the day that you could count on. They'd be said in every single prayer. But try not to use phrases and expressions that really don't have any meaning. Be sincere when you pray. And when you stand here and lead us in prayer, keep it focused. Stay on point. You don't need to pray about everything. It's impossible. It's impossible to stand here and pray about everything. Some try. Some try to get everything. You don't need to try to get everything in the prayer. It doesn't have to be long. The effectual nature of a prayer is not determined by the length of the prayer. Keep it fervent. Keep it sincere. And keep it focused. And again, these are things that men in this congregation already do exceptionally well. There are things that can help us as we pray and as we worship our God together, but what can we do when we're in the pew? What can we do as worshipers when we come here every week to make sure that our worship is on target, is on focus? We need to remember that when we are praying, and I'm going to put these first three up here because they all kind of go together. Remember that the one leading the prayer, he's not the only one praying. I'm not just sitting passively. That's not my job. As we're sitting in the pew, I'm not passive in the worship. It's not that he's up there talking and I'm just waiting for him to stop talking. He's leading, but we are all praying together, going to not his Father, not my Father. We're going to our Father together. And remember that nobody else can worship for you. Nobody else can sing for you. Nobody else can give for you, partake of the Lord's Supper for you. Nobody else can pray for you. A man standing here simply leading our thoughts, and our job is to join in with him. To take our thoughts and to merge them with his thoughts. And when he prays for the sick, when he prays for those who have lost their faith, when he prays for those who have lost loved ones, we are taking those people that we know, those people who are on our heart, and we are adding them in with his prayer. And in unison, when Tommy prays for those that he knows who are sick, and Daniel prays for those who he knows who are sick, and Cam prays for those he knows who are sick, all of us in unison are taking our heart to God, and God hears every single heart praying all of those individual prayers, but joining them together, not just one man leading a prayer. We need to all join in together. We need to all be able to say amen, whether we say it out loud or not. We need to be able to say amen. And that's not just at the end of the prayer. You can say that in your heart and your mind throughout the prayer. Say, yes, Lord. That's what, yes, Lord, we need that. Lord, forget. Yes, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. God, I need you. Don't just let the man here pray. Pray with him. Otherwise, God doesn't know that you're worshiping him. God's not seeing your heart praying if you are not praying. Join in the prayer. Be able to say amen. Overcome distractions around you. I know that's hard sometimes. That's why it's helpful to close your eyes so that some of those distractions aren't as obvious. But find a way to overcome any distractions that are around you. If you pray privately at home, it'll help you when you get here. Get excited about the fact. There's power in prayer. And there's power when we join together and pray together in one heart. And be excited that it's not just you praying and not one man praying, but we are praying together. And then finally, don't get frustrated with the guy who's leading the prayer if he doesn't do it just right. Does that ever happen? Did anybody ever stand up here and not lead a prayer just right? Yeah, every week. You know, because we have the idea of what he needs to say and how he needs to say it, and he's a human standing in front of 300 plus of you, and that's not very comfortable. Don't get frustrated if he doesn't do it just right. Guess what? We are all together imperfect. And there's not a one of us that's going to say it or do it just right. But do you think that when we join our hearts together and lift them up to God together, that God will sort it out? That God will figure out what our heart is trying to say unto him. We're going to have, very briefly, and these men have been asked to keep it brief, very briefly, a season of prayer in this assembly. We We have five men who are going to lead us. And men, if you will go ahead and come up and on the stage. But Kevin Weeks is going to start off and he's going to lead us in a prayer of praise and adoration of our God. And then Richard Watson is going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving unto our God. Richard Laro is going to lead us in a prayer of petition, petitioning God on behalf of our nation. Cam Crotch is going to lead us in a prayer for our families. And then finally, one of our shepherds, Phil Porter, is going to lead us in a prayer on behalf of this congregation. And let's remember that while they are standing here and leading us in prayer, let us join our hearts with them and join our hearts with each other. And let us take our heart united together before the throne of God as they take us there.
Let's go to our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we declare your name to our brethren. In the midst of the assembly, we praise you. You are our rock and our salvation. Your unfailing love is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Let the whole world fear and stand in awe of you, Lord. You spoke and the world began. It appeared at your command. Lord, you are our inheritance and our hope. Thank you, Father, for your love and compassion. Thank you for keeping your covenant with us throughout the ages. Thank you for making us your people. And oh, what a joy it is to be one of your children. Father, you are good, and your faithful love endures forever. Father, we submit our loyalty and our adoration to you. You are the Alpha and Omega. You existed before time and created everything that exists. You are the only one true and living God. Father, you are compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love. You shower compassion on all of your creation. We confess that we will keep your commandments, walk in your ways, and revere you. Father, your word is more desirable than gold, more sweeter than honey. Father, please hear our prayers. Touch our hearts and teach us a reverence and love for your word. Place in us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness so that we may be filled. From eternity to eternity, you alone are God. All honor and glory belongs to you, the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we kneel before your throne with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come before you, our Father, thankful for being blessed in measures we do not deserve. We thank you, the Creator, for making us in your image. And we thank you, dear God, for having a plan that provides for salvation. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice that defeated Satan on behalf of all humanity. We thank you, God, for where we live, and we thank you, God, for the time in which we live. We thank you for the church, and we thank you for this church. We thank you, God, for all the saints who have gone before us and upon whose shoulders we stand. We thank you for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We thank you for a prostitute named Rahab. We thank you for Joseph and Mary, whom you trusted to raise your son. We thank you for men like Peter and Paul, who preached the simple message of Christ crucified. We are thankful for countless men over the last 2,000 years who have served as elders and teachers and preachers and deacons and spiritual family leaders. We are thankful for godly women who keep the fabric of the family sewn together. We beg your forgiveness, God, for turning our back on you time and time again. But we are thankful beyond measure that you have never, nor will ever, turn your back on us. We are told that we have not because we ask not. So today we ask, dear Heavenly Father, for your continued blessing. In Jesus' name, we offer this prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we approach thy throne of grace, we do so in behalf of this nation, Father. And we acknowledge, Father, that you are not only the God of love, but you are the God of righteousness, and you're the God of judgment. And that indeed righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We're so thankful, Father, that you have demonstrated this in the beginning of our country, being founded on men who believed in you and did their best to not only follow you, but to form the government accordingly. And you've gotten a meager, small nation. You had made it, blessed it, and made it great and grow to where it is indeed has been the envy of the world. But Father, as time has gone on, we have become lax and have backslidden. We live in a time, Father, where your word has been silenced in the public schools. They silence Christianity on every chance they get. They have redefined marriage, and they have exalted the homosexual. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will oversee the leaders of this country in such a way that we will always have this ability to be able to worship thee in peace and without being molested. We acknowledge, Father, that the innocent are being unborn babies are dying at the hands of what the government allows, and that because of the allowance of our government in doing this, that there have been more unborn babies destroyed than all of the those who died in World War II on both sides, the civilians and the military, who were in those 31 countries that participated. And indeed, Father, we have exceeded it, if the statistics are right, by 10 million. But we look to thee, Father, as the author and the finish of our salvation, and indeed you are the source of freedom. Help us to have to look and see our condition and what it's doing to our country, and help our government and our people to have a heart of repentance and turning back to thee, through thee can we recover the things that we're going through. We are so thankful, Father, that you have blessed us, your people, with a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and that all of your purposes have been accomplished all through the ages, and they will continue to be so, irregardless of what man does. We're thankful, Father, that our true citizenship is in heaven, and that whatever we endure on this side will only be for a while, and that there will come a day when we will have that eternal paradise with thee. We pray that you will help us in our upcoming election, Father, to help us to install people who are godly men, who look to thee for wisdom, and that there will be a turning, and that our country can once again be a great nation, and once again can be acknowledged as a Christian nation. Help us to seek thy will and thy favor in all that we do, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Pray with me, please. Loving Lord and Father, we're thankful for everything that you've given us in this life. We're thankful for what you've brought together in our personal lives and in our spiritual lives as a family. I pray that we never forget your power and know that you will keep your promise and be there for us when we ask. We ask that you please shine your light upon our families, both in the home and here as a congregation. Give us the strength to overcome those difficulties that we may be dealing with now, and protect us against those things, that the problems that we may encounter in the future. The world is changing and moving farther and farther away from you, and we pray that we can keep ourselves grounded in your truth and not our own. Help us to always go back to the scriptures for your examples and how to deal with any situation. Please help those of us that are parents and grandparents, and please help us to keep the home focused on what's most important, getting all those to heaven and praising you. Help us with our Bible study habits, our everyday habits, and the influences that we allow in our homes. May we prepare our youth for what's to come and give them the tools that they need to stand up for you and understand their own faith. Please be with those that are in our families that don't know you or have left you behind. Help us to find a way to reach them, to get in to their hearts and show them your love, and to help them reconnect with you. Grant our families forgiveness for any wrong that we've committed against you or each other. May we also forgive one another, Lord, as you forgive us, even though sometimes it may seem difficult. We know all is possible through you, Lord, and we ask you to please bring us together as we are meant to be. Help us to keep our priorities focused on you. Help us to reach out to each other, support each other, and in turn strengthen your kingdom. Remind us to pray together and for each other. May the love that binds us together grow stronger as we fulfill the destiny that you've laid out for us, Lord. Guide our hearts and know that we love you first. It's all these things we ask through Jesus. Amen.
Our Heavenly Fathers, we come before you in prayer for your saints that assemble here and worship you at Palm Beach Lakes. We pray that we might be that city set on a hill that all can see. We pray that the light of your gospel and your love will shine about, that each member will reflect your love and your power. Father, we know that temptation strikes each and every one of us. We pray for strength to resist and defeat that temptation. Father, we pray that when that temptation overcomes us, that repent, continue to walk in your word, knowing that our faith and belief in you, that your blood cleanses us, and we can continue as a church, as your children, to share your gospel, to show your power, your mercy and your love, even after we fall. But help us to be students of your word so that we can, as individuals and as a congregation, be faithful and obedient to your word to keep sin from having place in our life. Father, we're thankful for the unity that we have, and yet we continue to pray that the bonds that hold us together will continue to be strengthened, that each of us will look into your word for the power and the strength to be members one of another, to be members of you. We pray for understanding and forgiveness when those around us do things that hurt us or wrong us. Help us to look for the best in their thoughts and actions. And Father, help us as a congregation and as individual Christians to always look to you as our Father, to look to your word as the light unto our feet. And Father, help us to always hold to your hand, to your love, and to your word each and every day of our life till you bring us home safely and joyously at the end. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for helping us to draw closer to our God and for taking our hearts together before Him. You know, this is a praying congregation, a praying church, and it's definitely, as authorized by God, a part of our worship. May God help us as we worship Him every week. Make sure that meaningfully we are coming before Him and praying together, lifting up our hearts together. Today, this church prays that if you have not already, that you will obey the gospel.